Wednesday, March 6, 2024. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope things are off to a good start. Hope you, your family, your friends, everyone in your world is staying strong and staying healthy right now. And don't look now, kids, but the month of March, I know it's just the 6th, it's already here, and things are going to start progressing really quickly. Because remember, we will be setting our clocks forward for daylight savings time this next Sunday. You know what that means? Well, yeah, mostly means we're going to be tired, we're not going to sleep very well, things are going to be off for a while, but we're going to get more daylight. You're going to have more time after work to actually go outside, or after school to actually go outside. That is a very good thing. And then you know what else is coming. Yes, March Madness is coming. Hey, some conference tournaments are already underway, and more are going to be beginning this week and into the weekend. And remember, Selection Sunday, it's less than 2 weeks away already. It is coming fast. As usual, got to announce this. Don't say you didn't know. We are hosting the Daily Dose Sports Podcast Bracket Challenge. So make sure that you sign up for that. It's already open. You can actually go join right now if you want to. Just go to ESPN, join the group on the Bracket Challenge called Daily Dose Sports Podcast. Or you could also go to DailyDoseSports.com. And find the link there as well. It's free to enter. I send the winner a Daily Dose basketball t-shirt. So make sure that you go over and you sign up for that. So when the brackets do come out, you'll remember to go fill out your bracket and be a part of our challenge. However, I want to talk about something concerning March Madness a little bit right now. And it is something that I'm hearing quite often right now in the sports media. One narrative that I am hearing more and more this season from the so-called experts is that many people in the sports media world are saying that this year, with men's basketball not really having any great teams, they will instead be watching the ladies' tournament more than they will the men's tournament this year. Hey, good for them. The women's tournament needs more viewers. They need to actually start making some money with that tournament. So good for them. Go watch that tournament. I hope the ratings are significantly higher than they have been. The women's side has some really talented players. Iowa's Caitlin Clark just set the record for most points ever scored by a Division I basketball player in history. It's not just her, though. USC has Juju Watkins. LSU has Angel Reese. Notre Dame's Hannah Hidalgo are all really, really fun to watch. You also have some really strong teams over on the women's side. You've got South Carolina. You've got Ohio State. You've got Texas. You've got Stanford. Here is the problem for the women's game. And I'm really sorry. I'm sorry I have to point this out. I'm sorry I have to explain this to people. But when I hear the experts saying, well, we're going to go watch the women's tournament this year over the men's tournament, I have to call BS on that. I don't even believe you. I believe maybe you're going to say that. You're not really going to do it. Because here's the fact. There are only maybe 4 or 5 really good teams in the women's game. And then the talent really drops. And after you get down past, say, 10 or 15, the talent drops even more. So if you want to watch a tournament where the first 2 rounds are nothing but like 10, 15, 20 point blowouts, go ahead. But I'm actually going to be watching the boring parody of nonstop buzzer beaters and nonstop upsets and all of the Cinderella teams making it really, really difficult for the favorites to even advance. Hey, if you want to go watch blowouts, go ahead. And then later, the women's tournament might actually get really fun and really interesting. But don't try to tell me that the women's tournament is going to be better across the board. I know better. There aren't enough good teams for it to be that way. Whereas on the men's side, it's going to be competitive every single round. You can say it. You can pretend you're going to do it. I don't believe it. Hey, before we jump in today, just want to remind you, like I said earlier, make sure you are going over to DailyDoseSports.com, checking out some of the new things we have going over there. We do have a link to the Daily Dose Bracket Challenge if you want to go join. We also have links to the podcast. We have links to Daily Dose gear. We have links to the YouTube videos. And I do put up a sports article, usually at least once a week. So make sure you're stopping by the website and checking out what we have going on over there. Hey, today on the show, we are beginning our prep for March Madness by taking a look at which teams are out there that you can actually kind of trust if you see them in your bracket. Now, we know there are blue blood names that are out there. But I'm telling you right now, some of the blue blood names out there, you don't want to go anywhere near them. And on the other side, I've got some names that maybe they're not household names, college basketball programs that you would think of as being really good in March Madness, but I'm telling you right now, this year, you might want to check them out. We do also have a Daily Dose Top 5 for you today, like we just mentioned. Iowa's Caitlin Clark has been scoring at an insane rate during her career. Today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is going to be looking at some other top college basketball scorers. So we're going to get to that here in just a few minutes. But first, we do have a little bit of news that I do want to talk about. Speaking of scoring, LeBron James continues to extend his career into uncharted territory. He became the first player in NBA history to record 40,000 career points. He did that on Saturday night at home against the Denver Nuggets. Hey, James came into the game against the Nuggets. He needed 9 points to hit 40K. Well, he got there with a layup at the 10:39 mark of the second quarter. They actually stopped the game. James was given the game ball. He waved to his family in the stands. He received a standing ovation from the crowd in LA after the Lakers played a tribute video on the Jumbotron for the fans to watch. And then, from that point on, the Lakers were outscored 92-77, and the Nuggets rolled to an easy win on LeBron James' night. Now, James reached the milestone on the 62nd anniversary of Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game, which is kind of interesting, because in the locker room after the game, James actually posed for a photograph while holding a white piece of paper with 40,000 handwritten on it, which was, you know, kind of an homage to Chamberlain's iconic photo from back in 1962, where they say Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points. There's no film, but they say he did it. And he wrote 100 on a piece of paper and a picture was taken. And you know, when I heard that, I kind of got it because I was like, I actually think that the comparison of LeBron James to like Michael Jordan, it just doesn't fit. It doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. However, the comparison of LeBron James to Wilt Chamberlain, that actually is kind of accurate. I mean, Wilt was a guy that was just so dominant physically. Physically, he was just bigger, stronger, faster than everybody else. Wilt was a guy that would also kind of go out and he might just do his own thing. He would lead the league in scoring. He would lead the league in rebounding. One year, he wanted to lead the league in assists. So he did. He just went out and led the league in assists. Now, did he sometimes do it at the detriment of his own team? Maybe. But he did it. Hey, Wilt won 2 NBA titles. Don't say Wilt didn't win anything. Wilt won. He won 2 NBA titles. Did he win as much as he maybe should have? Probably not, but he won. Does that sound familiar at all? Hey, what LeBron James is doing at his age is nothing short of incredible. And also, doesn't it seem like every single year he's mad at his team because they don't do enough to help him win more? It seems to happen a lot, and it's happened everywhere he's gone. I actually think Wilt Chamberlain and LeBron James are a very interesting comparison. And, you know, I say it all the time on The Dose. I don't always look to compare the two. I want to say, okay, who was the player back then that I would compare now? So back then, we would look at, I don't know, John Elway. Today, maybe you'd look at Josh Allen, something like that. Well, if you look at Wilt Chamberlain back then and you look at LeBron James now, I actually think that's a pretty good comparison. I know people won't like it, but it is actually true. Speaking of LeBron, University of Southern California freshman guard Bronny James is expected to kind of weigh his entry on whether or not to enter the 2024 NBA draft. He says he will weigh it on specific team interest, not on where he would be drafted. That is according to his dad's agent. Now, remember, Bronny suffered a cardiac arrest back in July at USC. He was diagnosed with a congenital heart defect, and it sidelined him for nearly 5 months. He was then cleared to continue playing, and he made his debut for USC back in December. Since then, Bronny James is averaging 5 points, 2.8 rebounds, and 2.4 assists in about 20 minutes of playing time per night. Hey, let's be honest, that's hardly worthy of an NBA draft selection, right? But also remember that LeBron has been telling everyone he wants to play with his son. So, would an NBA team consider drafting Bronny in hopes of maybe convincing LeBron to come join your team? Now, that seems insane to me, but I guess you never know. However, as these reports begin to come out that maybe Bronny wasn't getting the love from the NBA scouts that he was hoping for, LeBron pointed out it's totally unfair. Here's what he had to say. Can you all please just let the kid be a kid and enjoy college basketball? James wrote this on X or Twitter, whatever. He continued, the work and results will ultimately do the talking, no matter what he decides to do. If you all don't know, he doesn't care what a mock draft says. He just works. Earned, not given. Now, in a subsequent tweet, LeBron would advise other kids and young adults in athletics to focus on the process and don't listen to the outside noise. He continued on and said, and to all the other kids out there striving to be great, just keep your head down, blinders on, and keep grinding. These mock drafts don't matter one bit, I promise you. Only the work matters. Let's talk real basketball, people. Hey, there are some words of wisdom there. There really are. The mock drafts don't matter. You have to work hard. You have to ignore the outside stuff. Bronny is just a young kid. He's still trying to figure out the college game. Why in the world would anyone be considering him for the NBA draft? 5 points and two assists per game? That's not NBA quality. Who would even say he was an NBA guy already? Oh yeah, his dad would. LeBron actually did. Remember, it was just a year ago, LeBron was in a walking boot because he had a foot injury, and he said in a tweet that his son Bronny is better than some of the NBA talent he was watching on television. Here is what he had to say then. Man, Bronny definitely better than some of these cats I've been watching on League Pass today. Hey, Bronny James shouldn't be in the NBA conversation yet. The only reason he is because of his father. He's just a kid trying to learn how to compete at the college level. And yet, remember that LeBron is the one who put him in the conversation. As usual, that man says and does so many silly things. You know, the NFL Combine wrapped up on Sunday, and while the Underwear Olympics rarely provide anything too interesting, we did have a couple of little tidbits that we need to discuss. First is the fact that we have a new fastest 40-yard dash time in Combine history. Yes. Texas wide receiver Xavier Worthy posted an insane 4.21 second 40. Hey, Worthy is a smaller guy. He's only like 165 pounds. I think he's 6'1", so he's very, very thin. And he caught 5 touchdowns for the Longhorns this past season. So they are projecting him to be maybe a late first rounder or an early second rounder in the draft coming up this April. And they're saying that speed at the combine, it might move him up. But I just want to warn people, I'm putting this out there to NFL GMs And NFL experts and all the people out there making their little mock drafts, let me put this out there. I don't know if you want to let that 40 record impact your decision on whether or not you draft this kid. Because 40 doesn't really matter. Can he play football? That's all I want to know. Can he catch? Can he run routes? Will he work hard? Does he want to get better? Is he tough enough to take a hit and make the catch? I want to know those things. I don't know those things about him yet. But here's the thing. Let's recall some of the other past 40-yard dash record holders that we've had in NFL Combine history. Of course, Worthy broke the record set by John Ross, who I think is still in the league. But honestly, who even knows? We've also had guys like Dree Archer from Kent State. Nothing. Marquise Goodman, also from Texas. Tyrone Calico from Middle Tennessee ran a real fast 40. Fabian Washington from Nebraska. Do you recognize any of these names? Yeah, me neither. But doesn't it feel like the Raiders would have drafted all these kids? I don't know if that happened. I'm just lobbing out the idea. It won't surprise me a bit if they take this kid this year in the draft. But maybe the more interesting item coming out of the combine this year belonged to Texas Tech defensive back Tyler Owens, who was being projected as a very late round pick if he gets picked at all. Well, he had some interesting things to say. Now, Owens is a guy that really hasn't played that much, but he is very athletic. And he was actually very impressive in his 40 time and in the long jump. However, it was the interview that caught everyone's attention. Because Owens told the media this past Thursday that he doesn't believe... I can't believe I'm saying this. He doesn't believe in space. I wish I were joking. I'm not. I don't believe in space, Owens said. In a video that they posted on Twitter or X or whatever you call it, he went on, "I'm real religious, so I think we're alone right now. I don't think there's other planets and other stuff like that."
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Okay, look. This guy can have whatever views that he wants to have. That is up to him. However, when you are interviewing for a job, you might not want to spew out all of the crazy, right? It's like being on a date. Hold off for a few minutes before you let this person know that should things go wrong, you might try to burn their house down. You want to hold back a little bit. Don't let that come flying out of your mouth on the first date. You're just at McDonald's having a shake and some fries. You don't have to tell them. And by the way, if anything goes sideways, I might kill your dog. No. You don't have to say that. Just be quiet. Just hold off a little bit before you show them the real you. Now, will these crazy comments keep Tyler Owens from getting drafted? Who knows? But I will say this. Always remember, your talent must outweigh your baggage. And when you show signs that your ability to think rationally might be a tad compromised, then you just might go all draft weekend without ever hearing your name called. But hey, maybe Tyler Owens can get together for some tea with Kyrie Irving and plan their trip to the edge of the earth. Okay, coming back. Like we said at the top, March Madness is coming quickly. But maybe you haven't really been paying that much attention so far this season. That's okay, because today we're going to be talking about which programs you should actually trust this year, as well as which big-name programs you should be very, very skeptical of as we get ready for the big dance. We'll get to those when we get back. Hey, the 2024 NCAA tournament, it is coming quickly. Selection Sunday will be on March 17th, and then the tournament begins that week. But let's be honest. Most of us don't really turn our full attention to college hoops like until that afternoon the brackets come out, right? So Maybe you haven't been paying that much attention to college basketball this year. But there might actually be some surprises when you do start watching. Right now, we are going to look at some teams that are pretty solid. And they could make the tournament and even make a little bit of noise. And we are also going to look at some blue blood names that not only shouldn't you trust in the big dance, there's a real good chance they're not even going to make it to the big dance. And even if they do, I'm warning you right now, steer clear. You don't want anything to do with these teams we're going to talk about today. So let's start in the American Athletic Conference, where Florida Atlantic was expected to dominate this year after the amazing run they went on last year. Well, they've been okay this year. Maybe not quite as good as advertised just yet, but there still is time for them to come on. I think Florida Atlantic is still going to be pretty solid. However, the South Florida Bulls have not been to the NCAA tournament since 2011, and in their history, they've only made the tournament 3 total times. But I'm telling you, this year, no, South Florida can play. Head coach Amir Abdul-Rahim has this group playing very, very strong. They're really good defensively. And while they're not like a household name, people aren't going to say, oh, have you seen South Florida this year? I'm telling you right now, they're going to be pretty tough. You might want to watch out for the Bulls. My concern for them will be their strength of schedule. But this is a very, very scrappy team. This is a team that will play defense if they make the tournament. I think they will. But if they make it and you run into them on game day, maybe in that opening round, hey, be careful is all I'm saying. South Florida could be a pain. I trust them a little bit. Staying in that same conference, in the AAC, we will also mention a program that used to be a contender pretty much every year. Because remember when they had head coach Greg Marshall? Yeah, Wichita State, they would go to the dance every year. They would contend every year. Remember when they beat Kansas? Wichita State was a legitimate contender under Greg Marshall. This year, they're not even going to make the tournament. Wichita State is under 500. They'll need a miracle to even get to the dance. Yeah, do not trust Wichita State. If you see them somehow in a bracket, just know, yeah, they're not very good. I'm going to go ahead and skip them. Let's move to the ACC, where we know that every year, Duke and North Carolina, they're the big dogs, right? And again this year, they are. They're very, very good. They're both right on the edge of maybe being a contender. Very solid teams. But you know, one team that we're not really used to being that great in the ACC or being in the tournament is the Clemson Tigers. They've only gone to the tournament twice in the past 12 years. But Clemson actually has a pretty solid shot of making it to the dance this year. The Tigers have beaten North Carolina and they beat Alabama. They could be a sneaky team in the tournament because what's interesting about Clemson, they're pretty balanced at both ends of the floor. They can shoot it. They make their free throws. They can play some defense. Clemson is a very solid basketball team. Keep an eye on them. They might be worth watching as we get to the tournament. However, staying in the ACC, one team that is usually in the hunt most every year is really struggling this year, and that is the Miami Hurricanes. Hey, after their amazing run last year, they went all the way to the Final Four. The Canes, yeah, they don't look like they're even going to make the tournament. They're hovering right around 500. They're near the very, very bottom of the conference. They're going to need to get some more talent down there at Miami. Miami is not going anywhere this year. If you're thinking about, maybe I'll take Miami this year in the tournament, no, you won't. They probably won't even be there. Let's move next to the Big 12 Conference, where we know every year, basketball season in the Big 12 means one thing. Kansas rules, right? And hey, they're very good again this year. I'm not sure how good, but they're very good. But here, we're going to look at a team that isn't a big name. And they're also brand new to the conference. But I'm telling you, those BYU Cougars, they could be a problem. The Cougars have beaten San Diego State, they have beaten Iowa State, And yes, they went into Fog Allen and they beat Kansas. Hey, BYU can score. And if you have a flat night, they are sending you home. BYU plays five out. They spread the basketball out and they make you chase them all over the floor because they can flat out shoot the ball. I think BYU will be a sneaky team to watch, not only as we finish off the season, but into the tournament. BYU is tough. They knock down shots. They are not afraid. Keep an eye on the BYU Cougars. They might be a very, very interesting team this year in the tournament. However, we have another team in the Big 12 that I don't know that they're going to make it. Because they've been going to the tournament fairly often over the past few seasons. But the Kansas State Wildcats, they're going to have some work to do if they're even going to make it into the tournament this year. Because they have some bad losses on their schedule. They lost to Miami. They lost to Texas Tech. They lost to Oklahoma State. Hey, come Selection Sunday, I'm telling you right now, Kansas State is going to be very, very nervous. And you know what? They should be. They really need to close out the regular season strong. And then probably win a couple games in the tournament. Or Kansas State could be NIT bound, which is crazy. Because remember, they did beat Kansas this year. But I don't really trust Kansas State. They've got a decent name in college basketball. But this year, yeah, I'm not going to ride with Kansas State. I don't trust them. Let's go next to the mighty Big East. And I know the Big East isn't what it used to be. But hey, this Big East now, they've got some monsters. Connecticut is a legitimate contender to win back-to-back titles for the first time since Florida did it, goodness, 15, 16 years ago? Connecticut's not good. They could easily do it. Creighton is loaded. And I really think this next team is a contender despite their lack of size because I really like the Marquette Golden Eagles. I think they could be a contender. After going to the tournament just two times in 8 years, Marquette has now gone to back-to-back tournaments under head coach Shaka Smart. And I think they can go again this year and make some noise. Hey, when Marquette is shooting the ball well, they can beat anyone in the country. Now, I do have questions because, like I said, Marquette has a serious lack of size. They're not very big. So, can they rebound? Can they stop an inside post presence? Can they be physically tough enough if they're battling a big team? We'll have to see. I don't know that. But I will also say this. While that sounds like, oh yeah, then Marquette can't hang. Wait a minute, because you have to match up with them too. If you have those bigs, you might have to chase their shooters all over the place. Marquette might be a matchup nightmare for some teams. And I actually think Marquette is a little bit of a sneaky contender in college hoops this year. However, staying in the Big East, I am very worried about the Villanova Wildcats even making it to the tournament. Look, we knew when head coach Jay Wright stepped down, it's going to hurt. And I know a lot of times these things happen. A all-time great steps down. And the very next year you come in, you win more games than you lose. And everybody's like, oh no, you're going to be fine. We'll see. Because it is not easy to replace a legend. I mean, how could that not hurt? So last season, Nova finished 500, and you're like, okay, well, next year, maybe he'll get it going a little bit better. This year, they're a little better, but they're going to have to win some really tough games just to make it to the tournament. Because again, Villanova has some bad losses this year. They lost to Penn. Make sure you heard me right. Not Penn State. They lost to Penn, as in Pennsylvania. They lost to St. Joseph's. They lost to Drexel. Okay, that's not good. But at one point this year, do you realize that Villanova lost 5 games in a row? Hey, they're going to need to steal a few wins in the end of the regular season. And in the Big East tournament, they're going to have to win. If they don't, I don't think Villanova gets in. I know they're a household name. I know they have recent history, at least under Jay Wright. But this year, I don't think they get in. I think they have to make some noise to finish out this season, or they're going to be sitting at home and going to, I don't know, the NIT or something. Let's move next to the Big Ten. We're in the Big Ten in college hoops. What do we expect? We always look to see both Michigan schools, right? Because they're always pretty good. And we knew Purdue would be good again this year because they have big man Zach Edey. But this year has been surprising. Across all of college basketball, and especially in the Big Ten. And one of the biggest surprises, and I can't believe I'm saying this, is the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Hey, Fred Hoiberg had taken Iowa State to the national tournament a few times. And it looks like he's got a real good chance to take Nebraska to the tournament this year. Hey, Nebraska's another team. They can shoot it. And when they are hitting from outside, Nebraska can be a pain. They can be very, very dangerous. Nebraska has a few quality wins this year. They beat Illinois. They beat Wisconsin. Now, the one concern I have about Nebraska, and one thing the committee is going to hold against them, their record at home is phenomenal. Their record on the road is not. Well, when the committee puts together these brackets, a lot of times they look and say, well, obviously, Nebraska isn't going to be playing any games at home. So how do they look on a neutral site? How are they going to look if we put them in this bracket? Well, on the road this year, they haven't been great. So that could make them a little nervous come Selection Sunday. And it should. But Nebraska is a team that is probably a lot better than anyone thinks because, let's be honest, basketball, we don't believe in Nebraska. I mean, to take it one step further, football, we don't even believe in Nebraska. So why would we in hoop? But this year, no, you might want to watch the Huskers. They're actually pretty decent. And then, staying in that Big Ten, we also have the University of Michigan. What in the world is going on at Michigan these days? Head coach Juwan Howard has been suspended off and on a few different times, mostly for physical altercations with opponents or officials or fans or whatever. But here's where it gets weird. Because even when he's not suspended, sometimes he still doesn't coach. He sits at the end of the bench and someone else coaches him. And Michigan claims that Juwan Howard is on a no-tolerance policy. No nonsense. Do not get into trouble. Do not have any altercations. And yet, Juwan Howard has still gotten into a few altercations on the court this year. And the university has done nothing. I don't understand what's going on at Michigan. It's so strange. But forget Juwan. Forget the disaster that he has been as head coach. Michigan has also been terrible. So why are they putting up with it is what I don't get. The Michigan Wolverines are sitting at the very bottom of the Big Ten Conference. That is insane to me. Because you know you can get talent there. You know Michigan should be good every single year. But they're not. They're terrible this year. And the whole coaching situation has been a disaster. Again, I know sometimes we just look at the bracket and we say, oh, I recognize this name. I see this name. If you see Michigan anywhere near a bracket, and they'd have to win the entire tournament to get in, and they won't. But do not plan on picking Michigan in anything this year, because they're not going to be there. If you're looking to pick Michigan, you're going to be in trouble. Michigan is a disaster this year. I cannot believe how bad basketball is in Ann Arbor this year. It is absolutely shocking to me. But let's go ahead and stay in the Big Ten. Got two more teams here. One, we don't expect anything from. And the other, we can't figure why they're so bad. But let's look at this next team. And like I said, we expect the Michigan teams to be good every single year. We expected Purdue to be solid this year too. But here's a question for you. How many of us had Northwestern doing anything this year? Probably no one. But the Wildcats, they have a really good chance to make it to the tournament, although they do need to get healthy. They're kind of banged up right now. They have a couple of very, very good players missing time, and that's not helping. But head coach Chris Collins, he's got a very scrappy team. And here's the key with Northwestern. They are highly efficient. They don't waste possessions. They don't turn the ball over. They don't take bad shots. Just doing that can make you such a pain to play against because you're waiting for a slip up. You're waiting for them to hurt themselves, and they just don't do it. Northwestern doesn't beat themselves. And Northwestern has beaten Illinois this year. Oh, and they also have beaten Purdue this year. Hey, Northwestern could not only make the tournament, they could make the tournament and be a problem for somebody. Don't count out Northwestern. I know they don't have the household name. Northwestern could be very, very dangerous. And then, let's look at one more team before we go to break. And let's stay in the Big Ten, because there is another team over there that isn't doing so good. Because we talked about every year in the Big Ten, we kind of expect the Michigans to be good, right? Michigan State this year, they're okay. We'll see how they do in the tournament. Michigan, god-awful garbage. And then we have Ohio State. Now, after making it to the NCAA tournament for four of the past six seasons, the Buckeyes aren't making it this year. Do you realize that Ohio State has been so bad this year that head coach Chris Holtmann, he was already fired a few weeks ago. They're actually finishing the season with an interim head coach. And the only reason that Ohio State isn't dead last in the Big Ten is because you have Michigan, who is worse. I think Maryland is down there too. But the Buckeyes have been a total mess this year. They're not going to be making the field on Selection Sunday. If you're an Ohio State fan, I'm sorry. You better find someone else to root for this year. Big name, household name, blue blood kind of name. Ohio State? Yeah, you're not going to be dancing in the big dance this year. Okay, coming back. We do have a few more teams that just might surprise people this year, as well as a few teams that I absolutely don't even trust to make it to the dance. And then we need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, we saw over this past weekend, Iowa's Caitlin Clark became the leading scorer in the history of Division I basketball. But who are the greatest college basketball scorers that I have ever seen? We're going to get to those when we get back. So let's continue to look at some teams that we actually surprisingly trust this year in college basketball, as well as some big name teams that we absolutely do not trust whatsoever. And now let's move over to the Pac-12, where we always expect teams like Arizona and Oregon, maybe like UCLA, to be in the hunt every single year. And Oregon and Arizona, they are both very solid. But you know, there's one team in the Pac-12, they haven't been to the tournament since clear back in 2008. And do you know who their head coach was at the time? There's a guy by the name of Tony Bennett. Yes, that same Tony Bennett. And I'm talking about the Washington State Cougars. The Cougars have actually, this season, been on top of the Pac-12 a few times. They have some very good wins. They beat Arizona. They beat Oregon. And not only do I expect Washington State to make the field, I expect them to get a pretty decent seed. Probably like a 4 or 5 seed. It's crazy because we're not even used to Washington State making the tournament. They're going to make it this year, and they might make some noise this year. They will be a favorite in their first game, no question. Washington State, no, they can play. They can play with anyone. But then, staying in that Pac-12, we also have a program that we expect to be in the tournament every single year. But this year, yeah, they're not going to make it. It's going to be really, really tough. And I am talking about the UCLA Bruins. Now, we all know the massive amounts of success that UCLA has had in its illustrious history. But do you realize that since taking over as head coach, Mick Cronin has made it to 3 tournaments in 5 seasons? And in these last 3 tournaments that he's been in, the Bruins have gone Sweet 16, Sweet 16, and Final 4. Hey, that's pretty impressive. I don't care where you're doing it at, but doing it at UCLA, we know can be a little bit tough. That is very impressive. But it ain't going to happen this year because it doesn't look like UCLA is even going to make it to the tournament. Right now, UCLA is like a 500 basketball team. That's crazy. Oh, and they have some really bad losses. You want to know how bad? Ohio State got them. Maryland got them. Oh, and Cal State Northridge beat UCLA this year. That shouldn't happen ever. It happened this season. UCLA, yeah, you're going to be home watching the tournament with the rest of us. So let's finish off and let's go to the SEC, where we have a few teams there I want to look at. Now, when we go SEC and we talk SEC hoops, who do we look at? Every year, Kentucky, right? Alabama has been very good recently. So has Auburn. And you know what? All three of those schools are in the hunt this year. They should be pretty solid. They'll all be right there. They will probably be making it to the tournament and could make some noise. But you know what team we're going to have to kind of warm up to being in the tournament this year? South Carolina. Because it sure looks like they're going to go. The Gamecocks were picked to finish dead last in the SEC this year. South Carolina, I'm telling you, they can play. They have beaten Arkansas, Missouri, Kentucky, Ole Miss. They have beat Georgia and Tennessee on the road. Hey, South Carolina, they have only been to the tournament one time in the past 20 years. But I'm telling you right now, no, the Gamecocks are dancing this year. They're going to go in, and again, they just might make some noise. When you see South Carolina this year in your bracket, don't go, oh, is this the women's bracket? No, 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 it's the men's. They're pretty good. Don't be shocked by it. However, on the other side of that in the SEC, we have another team, and they are not doing so good. And it's weird because the Texas A&M Aggies are usually at least a contender to get into the tournament. They were in the tournament last year, and in the past 17 seasons, Texas A&M has made it to the national tournament 9 times. That's pretty solid. Yeah, but they're not going to get the invitation this year. No, no. Because Buzz Williams' squad this year, they're barely over 500. The Aggies recently had a 5-game losing streak, but here's what's weird about A&M. They can actually play with big dogs. And yet, they can actually lose to really bad teams. Think about this. Texas A&M has 6 quadrant one wins. Here's are good wins. However, Texas A&M also has 3 quadrant three losses. How do we even explain that? I don't know if A&M just gets up for the good teams and they don't get up for the bad teams. I don't know what it is. For whatever reason, though, I think Texas A&M, yeah, I think they're going to be sitting at home and watching the tournament this year with us on the couch because I don't think they're going to make it. Okay, so let's finish off with one more team that doesn't have a blue blood name, and they've actually only been to the NCAA tournament twice in the past 14 seasons. But I actually think Mississippi State can make it this year. Hey, the SEC, it has turned into a pretty good basketball conference. This year, no, the SEC is very solid. And in the SEC, Mississippi State is about 500 in the conference. Now, they don't always shoot it well, and that could be a problem. But they can really be a pain defensively. If they would just take care of the basketball a little bit, then I think Mississippi State could finish the regular season strong. Maybe pick up a win or two in the SEC tournament. And if they do that, yeah, I think the Bulldogs are going to hear their name called on Selection Sunday. We're not really used to hearing that name be called, but I think they could actually get in. But let's finish this off with a big name team that is not playing big time basketball this year. And I will finish this off with the Arkansas Razorbacks. Since taking over in Fayetteville, head coach Eric Musselman has led the Razorbacks to 3 straight NCAA tournaments. Right now, Arkansas is below 500. And it's crazy because they're not a good scoring team, which usually they are. Oh, and also, they don't play defense either. They allow nearly 80 points a game. So let's see. You can't score, and also you can't get stops. Yeah, that's a bad combination. And so, again, you might be thinking, hey, I'm a Razorback fan. I can't wait for the tournament. I haven't been following that closely, but I'm going to pick Arkansas. Yeah, they're not getting in this year. Arkansas is going to be at home for the postseason, hoping for an NIT bid, because they're not going anywhere near that NCAA tournament. Now, because of the fact that you can win your conference tournament and play your way in, there is a slim chance that some of the teams I talked about today as not being good contending teams, they could play their way in. I don't like their chances, but it could happen. Having said that, I don't like them even if they do make it. If you do see these teams on the line, they somehow won their conference tournament and got in, which would be almost impossible, but say they did, I wouldn't trust them. They might have a big name. They do not have big game this year. You know, this season in college basketball, there's so much parity. We've seen it over the last few years. And there are no great teams. So during the season, we are seeing a lot of top teams getting beat every single week. Top 25, top 15, top 10, top 5 teams getting beat week after week after week. Now, you're getting late in the conference and you're starting your conference tournaments. I'm telling you right now, it's going to happen more and more over these next few weeks, because now you're playing conference teams that know you so well. And they're playing you for the second, third, maybe even fourth time already this year. Hey, I know there aren't great teams. I know there's a lot of parity. I know there are, you know, talking heads on TV saying, I'd rather watch the women's tournament. No, you wouldn't, because I'm telling you this right now. We are going to have another completely wild and unpredictable NCAA tournament. And I'm telling you this too. I am here for it. I can't wait. Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get over to our Daily Dose top five. Hey, is Iowa guard Caitlin Clark the greatest college basketball scorer, regardless of gender, ever? That was a question that was asked this past week by the worldwide leader in sports, because they are clearly trying to drum up their business from dummies or something. I don't know. Hey, Clark finished her game against Ohio State on Sunday with 35 points. That gives Caitlin Clark 3,685 total points in her incredible career. That passes former leading scorer all-time in NCAA history, LSU guard Pete Maravich's record of 3,668 points. And Clark's not done. Hey, that is absolutely incredible. Hats off to Caitlin Clark. What an incredible, incredible career she has had at Iowa. However, what do the morons in sports talk do? They immediately start making asinine comparisons like, well, is Caitlin Clark the greatest scorer in any sport of any time ever? It's also dumb. And it's also fake and manufactured. I mean, forget the smaller ball. Forget the fact that the competition might be a little bit different from the men's side to the women's side. And forget that it did take Clark 4 seasons and 130 games to break that record, while Pete Maravich set his record in just 3 seasons and 83 games. That, my friends, is absolutely insane. Also, Clark had the three-point line. Remember, the three-point line didn't come into play until the 80s. And they actually say, based on film review, that Pete Maravich would have averaged 52 points per game with a three-point line, just based on where he shot from. Not if he was actually trying to shoot from there, but just based on where he did shoot from, he would have averaged 52 points a game. As it was, he averaged 44 points a game. So, once again, the sports media world is just being stupid. They're trying to drum up things. Hey, Caitlin Clark is without a doubt one of the greatest female players ever, no question. She is one of the greatest scorers in women's college basketball history. She could shoot. She can score. She is a monster. But let's not make silly comparisons. And let's not hold her to a stupid, unrealistic standard. Hey, if you get a chance to watch Caitlin Clark this year, you should do it. If she's on in the tournament, you might want to tune in. I might actually tune in. But I was thinking about Pete Maravich this week. And, you know, I never got to see him play. He's way before my time. And then I was also thinking about some of the greatest scorers in college basketball history. Because it's interesting. If you go back and you look at just the stats in college hoops, you're not going to see like Michael Jordan or Kareem or Magic Johnson. Because that wasn't how the game was played then. Those guys were playing at big time programs. They were trying to win titles. They weren't trying to win scoring titles. They were trying to win. You certainly won't see like Kobe Bryant or LeBron James because they have the same amount of points in college as I do. No, you'll see guys like Pete Maravich, Austin Carr, Rick Mount, Elvin Hayes. But again, those guys are kind of before my time. I didn't really get to see them play. So today, on our Daily Dose Top 5, I'm doing something a little bit different. This isn't going to be based on stats. This is going to be based on the eye test alone. Today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is counting down the top 5 NCAA basketball scorers of all time that I, Clint Daly, have watched. And understand, this is completely subjective. Your list might be different than mine. In fact, I would hope it would. But I'm going to give you my list today. And I will say this. I did factor in the competition that they faced. I didn't go with guys that played at little bitty schools and racked up huge points. Sorry, I just didn't because I didn't think it was fair. I also didn't put in one-year guys. If you only played 1 year, I kind of want to see if you could do it a little bit more than that. So right now, we are going to count down the Daily Dose top 5 college basketball scorers, again, that we have personally got to watch. Not the ones before my time. Let's start off at number 5. And we go to a guy that, honestly, he was not very big. He had played high school football and basketball in Virginia, and when it came time to sign with a college, he chose to play for Big John Thompson at Georgetown. Now, they say Allen Iverson was 6 feet tall. I'll be honest, I'm not that sure. He doesn't look that big to me. In his first season at Georgetown, back in 94-95, Iverson won the Big East Rookie of the Year and was named to the All-Rookie First Team. That season, he also led the Hoyas to the Sweet 16 in the tournament. They would get beat by North Carolina. In his second season, he took Georgetown all the way to the Elite Eight, where they lost to UMass. But Allen Iverson ended his college career as Georgetown's all-time leader in career scoring average. Allen Iverson played 2 years at Georgetown. He averaged 22.9 points per game. At that size? At probably 5'10"? It makes no sense. But that was Allen Iverson. He is one of the greatest scorers that I have ever seen, and he comes in today on our list at number 5. We arrive at number 4. And you know, there are just so many guys to choose from today, but I do remember this guy. And he was one of the first players that could just light you up from deep and also beat you in transition and also really clutch the free throw line. He was part of Georgia Tech's Lethal Weapon 3 attack with Kenny Anderson and Brian Oliver. But man, Dennis Scott could absolutely score. Scott had an excellent college career. He played for the Yellow Jackets. He led them to the NCAA tournament every year that he was there. During his junior season, in 89-90, Dennis Scott led Georgia Tech to win the ACC tournament championship. He was named ACC Player of the Year, And then he led Georgia Tech to the Final Four of the NCAA tournament. They would lose to the eventual champion, UNLV Running Rebels. But in his career, Dennis Scott averaged 21 points per game. And in his final season, his junior year, Scott averaged nearly 28 points per game. Hey, Dennis Scott could just flat out score. And he comes in today at number 4. We reach number 3. And at number 3, we go to another big dog. Literally. Because Glenn Big Dog Robinson was absolutely dominant scoring at the college level. In just 2 seasons at Purdue, playing for head coach Gene Cady, Robinson scored more than 1,700 points. Like, imagine if he had played 4 years. But Glenn Robinson could have actually done more, because back in those days, there was a rule for incoming freshmen. It was called Proposition 48. And it required a minimum academic standard to play college sports. Well, Robinson didn't qualify. So he had to redshirt his freshman year. He didn't get to play. And then as a sophomore, Glenn Robinson averaged 24 points and 9 rebounds. And then as a junior, it went up. Robinson averaged 30 and 10 every game. And then he actually did make the jump to the NBA. He played more than 10 years in the league. Hey, Glenn Big Dog Robinson was a dominant scorer in college. He comes in today at number 3. So we reached number 2 on the Daily Dose greatest college basketball scorers that I have gotten to watch. And once again, I'm going to go with the little guy. He was listed at 6'1". I don't believe it, because I've stood face to face with this guy. I'm 6'1". He is not 6'1". He's shorter than I am. Raised in poverty in Gulfport, Mississippi, he signed to play for Louisiana State University. And that guy dominated from day one. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, at the time, was still called Chris Jackson. And in just his 3rd game of his freshman season, he scored 48 points. He played 2 seasons for the Tigers. He averaged 29 points per game over those 2 years. And again, remember, he did it in an era where shooting threes, it wasn't done like it is today. It was done like sparingly, like, okay, if you're wide open, no one near you, maybe take a 3. It wasn't done like it is today, where you're just running to the 3-point line. I mean, Mahmoud only averaged shooting 7 threes a game. That's not a lot. But I will say this. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf was one of the most electric scorers I've ever seen play at the college level. And even to a point at the NBA level. Once he got back into shape, he was dominant. Mahmoud could flat out score. He comes in today at number 2. So we reach our number 1 college basketball scorer that I personally have ever seen. And this one, I'll be honest, is at the very edge of my sports memories, because I was really, really young when he played. But I do remember watching the championship game with him in it. And this guy could score at will. And he did for his entire career. Coming out of high school, he originally signed to play for Bob Knight at Indiana. But when he went to Bloomington, it was too big. He hated it. So Larry Bird transferred to Indiana State, where he played 3 seasons. In those 3 seasons, Larry Bird averaged 30 points a game and scored a total of 2,850 points in his career. Remember, he did it without a 3-point line. Bird shot 53% for his career in college. And he led Little Indiana State all the way to the national championship game in 79, and then went on to a Hall of Fame career in the NBA. Look, I know young people, well, and ignorant people, will say, well, Larry Bird couldn't play today. Have you seen Nikola Jokic? Have you watched Luka Doncic? Because it's the same style. Larry Bird could score from anywhere, on anyone. Oh, and also, his trash talking was legendary. Hey, next week on The Dose, we are going to continue getting you ready for March Madness, but I've got something a little bit different for you. I'm actually chasing a guest that I'm hoping might explain where all this college NIL and transfer portal stuff, where is it all headed? What is college sports going to look like in the very near future? So make sure you tune in next week to The Daily Dose, and make sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you so much to everyone out there for listening to The Daily Dose, everyone. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things going up there every week. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.